The word today is temple. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. The Word of God says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Does this mean that God lives inside of us? And what are the implications of this for our life? Here to guide us in further understanding of being God's holy people is Bible scholar Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Temple.
The Corinthian church, the letters that Paul the Apostle wrote that we call 1 and 2 Corinthians, were written to a group of Christians that were pretty messed up. They had a lot of problems in their church. It was, in many ways, a very immature group of Christians. They had a lot of things that needed straightening out. And Paul, in his letters, uses a phrase from time to time that lets us know how much trouble this congregation had and how much correction they needed. The phrase was, "Don't you know?" I'll bet you've said that to someone at times too. When you're frustrated with them, you think they should know better. Maybe they're acting immaturely and you say, "Don't you know?" Well, Paul said this several times to the Corinthians, and we're going to take a look at one of those instances in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says in verse 16, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." I have been to various places in the world and seen some fantastic buildings. I've been to Agra, India, and seen the Taj Mahal, which is a fantastic tomb for an empress. I've seen in Jerusalem the remains of the Great Temple. Been to Rome and seen the Colosseum and some of these fantastic structures that were built in ancient times. In Athens, of course, the Parthenon. There were temples that were built in the ancient world to gods and goddesses. And these were fantastic structures. And yet, we see from the Word of God in the New Testament that God does not need buildings, even though he commanded the Israelites in the Old Testament to first make a tabernacle, which was sort of a portable temple. And then, later on in Jerusalem, through King Solomon, he had the temple built. And yet, these things weren't done because God needed a structure. The reason the temple was built primarily was a place for God's people to gather and to honor him and to pray to him. Back in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon, at the dedication of the temple that he had constructed, said that God doesn't need this building. I'm paraphrasing here. That God didn't need the building, but that it was a focus point for prayer. And he asks God to listen when the people gather at the temple and pray toward him. When they pray toward this place, he said, he asked God to listen from heaven and to answer. And that's one of the primary reasons that even today churches are built, is because it's a place for God's people to gather and to pray to him. The Christian here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is called God's temple, but there's something we need to understand from the text. In the original language, in the Greek, there are different words that are used for the word "you." There can be a singular form of the word "you," meaning one person, or there can be a plural form, meaning a group or several people. Well, Paul, when he is talking to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 3, and he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" we get a little clue to the fact there that it is a group, that he's not talking to, about one person alone, but the entire community is a temple to the Lord. So in other words, all of the people coming together are like bricks or like stones that are gathered together in order to make a structure. This same theme is found elsewhere in the New Testament as well. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 the discussion of the different members of the body. We have the eye, the ears, the mouth, and these all come together in order to form one person, the human. And so also the Christians come together in order to form the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12 it says that Jesus is the head of his body, the church. In 1 Peter 2, the analogy is that of the Christians being living stones, that they are being built up into this structure called God's spiritual house. So this is a very common theme and an idea of the many becoming unified and becoming one in Jesus. But there also is another way that this phrase, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is used also in 1 Corinthians 6. And there, Paul says, you, singular, your body, your individual self, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that both of these things are true at the same time. The group as a whole is like a structure, like the whole church is composed of many different parts. So also, all the believers together are seen as a one, a unity. Then you individually are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we understand both of these aspects of faith. Obviously, the way it works is that when you hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, then suddenly, when you are brought to faith in him, you now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You now become the residence of God, and your whole life changes. Your entire attitude, your mindset, what you will do in life, whether you will go with the ungodly and the sinful crowd, or whether you will praise God and stay with the righteous, well, you make those decisions. And then now that the Holy Spirit is living in you, and now that you become a temple of God, that he dwells in you, you no longer do what the world does. You no longer can subject yourself to immorality and sin and lewdness. This is one of the things that we really need to understand, is that there is too much immorality. There is way too much indecency in the church, and people are not living as they should as the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is a dangerous problem in Christianity also, especially in the Western world. We're not setting a very good example to the rest of the world of what Christianity really is. We're trying to do it all ourselves. There's too much independence, too much me in the Christianity. In other words, people are thinking, I can just have my own spirituality and do my own thing. I don't have to get together with other Christians. I don't have to worship. I can just be a Christian all on my own. That's nonsense. It shows a profound misunderstanding of the New Testament and what a Christian really is. An authentic Christian is always, always a part of the community. There is no individualization in Christianity where you just have your relationship with God all on your own and you don't need to be a part of the community. That's really damaging. And what it does is it sets up the individual to be picked off by Satan, that they just kind of drift away, or they pick up whatever doctrine or teachings they think is nice, and they watch something on TV, or else they hear something on radio, and they end up getting all these weird, wacky doctrines. They end up getting misperceptions and misconceptions of what God is and what faith is. And they don't have anyone to bounce these ideas off of. They don't have any well-trained pastor or leader in order to correct them or show them from the scriptures where they're wrong. And then they end up with a totally messed up understanding of what faith is. And then they are disconnected from the community. And so they can drift away in their misconceptions, in their lack of commitment, and then they become easy pickings for Satan in order to get them to drift to the point that they slowly lose faith. You see why it's important that you're part of a structure, part of a group. And that's why I would give this invitation now. Christ came in order to save you, in order to redeem you, but he didn't do this so that you could just be sitting there all on your own. He wants you to be part of God's temple, the church that Jesus is building. Now, the important thing we need to understand from the text here today is that you are part of that temple, and you must exert every effort in order to be pure and holy, in order to represent Christ well. If you go to attack the church of Jesus Christ, if you live in opposition to it, note this warning that God will destroy those who will attempt to wreck his temple. None of us wants to do that. There are people out in the world that are trying to attack Jesus and attack his church. Let them try. God is going to deal with them. Our responsibility is to live a righteous and holy life. Just as these temples were built in order to glorify these pagan deities in times past, we now have been won by Jesus Christ, and our bodies are to be dedicated to him so that we will do all, whether we're talking or serving someone else, everything we will do will be a worship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember always that you have the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in you, and you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to make you a holy building and a holy group to Jesus' glory.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.